Welcome back to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson.
Luann, I hope our listeners had a chance to hear a discussion last time with Mrs. Ellie Kay. She's known as America's Family Financial Expert, and she has graciously agreed to come back again for day two and continue to share her wonderful financial advice with our listeners.
And we are so excited to have her back. Ellie has written over a dozen books and is a national commentator. Many of you listening will recognize her from appearances on programs such as Janet Parshall's America and Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey. Ellie and her husband Bob have seven children and are currently living in Palmdale, California, which many of us recognize as a military town, isn't it, Ellie?
That is correct. It really is.
Explain why you're there.
We are there because my husband got a job working with the Air Force and flying jets out there and out of Edwards Air Force Base.
Ellie, last time we barely scratched the surface. We talked about groceries and eating out. You've got so much great advice for our listeners, and why don't we start off today with some of those tips. You said save hundreds of dollars in 15 minutes.
That is right. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time to save money. Yes, it can be the equivalent of a part-time job to some people, and that could be worth their time. But if you just have 15 minutes at any given time, you can save hundreds of dollars. So let me go through how you can do that.
So in the course of this program, you could save a couple hundred
dollars.
That's worth staying tuned.
You sure could.
All right.
And the first tip is to reevaluate your automobile policy each and every year. And when I ask people in the audience how many people do that, about a third of the people even evaluate it every couple of years. So if you will go to a site that will compare a lot of different coverages for you, a lot of different plans from different companies, you could go to progressive.com and they will come up with a lot of different options. Then you take that back to your existing provider in a 15-minute phone call and the time that it takes to look it up online, and you say, look, if I switch to GEICO, I can save $500. What can you do for me?
That's right.
And they are highly motivated to ask you the questions that you haven't been asked in a long time. For example, did you take the driver safety course to get a speeding ticket to go off of your record? That could be worth 15 to 20% off your existing premiums. So there's all kinds of ways that you can save, and that is just one tip that doesn't take a lot of time.
Ellie, I didn't know you were going to mention that. A week ago, I was trying to insure one of my old cars. I have a 65 and a 49, and my current insurance company wouldn't insure my 65. And it drove me crazy because I didn't want to have two different insurance companies. I called the company that does my homeowner's insurance, asked them what they could do for me. I have the same coverage. I added a vehicle, and we saved $900 a year. And I'm kicking myself for not doing it earlier. But my wife was so ecstatic. We saved almost $1,000 because I made a phone call.
That's right. And it doesn't take a lot of time to do that. The next tip is close to home, Ryan, because you just said your homeowner's policy. Now, when I ask live audiences how many people will reevaluate their automobile policy, a lot more people will evaluate that than evaluate their homeowners. As a matter of fact, my own agent was reading some of my work, and he realized he had not called his insurance provider on his homeowners for like 10 years. And it turns out he had a grandfathered policy. He saved over $1,000 just by making that phone call. And so every year you should do the same thing. Evaluate your homeowner's policy. And what happens is that if you pay for your homeowners, that it's part of your mortgage payment every month, when you get your copy of that, you tend to say, oh, the bank pays that. That's the wrong answer. You need to go back and reevaluate that.
And you can do the same thing with cable, satellite, internet.
Yes.
I just switched to internet providers because we don't use cable or satellite. My company that I was using, they went crazy. They would not stop calling. Well, we'll do this and we'll do this. And I said, I'm sorry, you're still not beating what I'm going to get.
Yeah,
and they
really wanted
to try.
That is great. And you bring up a really good point. And that is, with any of these services that we get on a regular basis, all you have to do is call the provider and say, I'm thinking of canceling. I'm thinking of switching to another provider. What can you do to keep me? And there are actually people that answer the phone that don't have the authority to be able to give you the better deals. But when they switch you over to the cancellation department, then they have the authority to give you the better discounts.
That's right.
Well, then talk a little bit specifically about cell phones. That is one of our biggest bills because it's packaged with our home phone and our internet and our cell phone. What's the best way to save money on that?
The best way to save money on cell phones is to compare plans that they are offering in with different cell phone providers. And of course, the real glitch is that you have to have fulfilled your commitment with your existing provider. So when you come to the end of that, once again, you can call and say, I want to cancel because I'm going to switch to another provider mm-hmm. that can give me better options. And they will transfer you to a person within that company that can give you the better deals. But if it's going to be better for you to switch, then go ahead and switch. But the key is to really evaluate those plans that are out there so you're getting the best plan. In some cases, for college students or something like that, a prepaid cell phone might be the best option because then you never have to worry about them reimbursing you for charges that they make calling your boyfriend in Israel or something. And that can really help.
Sure.
Well, Ellie, this comes down to kind of the whole lifestyle choice, too, and how much we succumb to peer pressure. I'm thinking of my son right now who has kind of a basic little flip phone mm-hmm. around his campus. And I was asking him how many other people have, you know, the big smartphones. And quite a few of his college friends have pretty elaborate, you know, iPhones, smartphones, Blackberries, that kind of a thing. We have to combat some of this pressure that we have to have the latest and the best and the grandest, right?
That's true, Luann. And I like to say that you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. Mm. So you can have the cool smartphone or you can have the designer shoes. You know, you can't have it all at the same time. And mm-hmm. we all pick and choose as to what's worth splurging on for us and what's important. But we understand that if we're going to live within a budget, we can't have it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a website called Ting.com. T-I-N-G. I know we've given lots of links, so
yes,
we're going to include
have.
These on our show page. But Ting.com will tell you if you can save money or not, and they're saving people hundreds of dollars. We get nothing from this, but it's a good tip for people. You talked about checking your insurance with Progressive. Check your cell phone with Ting.
Great idea. I'm writing this down. Yeah, so I learned some tips today, too.
Ellie, I just alluded to the fact that I had a son in college. I've actually had two children in college this past year. So when I saw that you were here and you have some tips for financially preparing for college, my little antenna went up. Now you are the mother of seven, many of whom have already completed college or who are in it. Tell us how you have approached this in the K household.
One of the ways that we have prepared our children to be able to graduate from college with minimal or no student loan debt is to encourage them to do a variety of things. For one thing, dual enrollment is available in a lot of our communities across the country. That is where high schoolers can take college equivalent classes at the same time that they're in high school. And every single year, we have kids graduating from high school 1 week, and then 2 weeks later, they're graduating from college with their associate's degree.
Yeah.
And that means that they've lived home. They're 2 years ahead of the game when they go to college, and that's a great way to do it. Another thing is to encourage students to study for their AP exams. Yes, they may be taking that mm-hmm. AP class, but if they don't pass the exam and get the maximum credit that they have available to them, then they won't get it. One of the other things that I encourage existing college students to do is to realize that the time to apply for college scholarships is not just when you're a high school senior, but you can continue to apply for scholarships throughout your entire college
really?
Career.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. If you go to fastweb.com or even sallymae.com, you're going to find 1.2 million scholarships that are out there, and a lot of these go unrewarded every year. If you select your area of interest, then you can apply for a scholarship in that area. For example, there was one student that loved to knit, and the American Wool Association was giving away $2,000 scholarships, so they got that. Another one liked to skateboard, and so because of that, they applied for a scholarship that was just for skateboarders.
Oh, come on.
Now so you have his attention.
I was missing out all through college.
So what I actually do is I require that my high school seniors and even college students make looking for college scholarships and applying for them a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours a week of doing this and applying for literally hundreds of scholarships will start to yield quite the reward.
Do you have any idea how much you've saved on college debt by having your kids spend 5 hours a week looking for scholarships?
We have earned in the K family close to $2 million in college scholarships.
My goodness.
Now, I have to qualify that. there are a few of them that we trained to be able to have such an incredible work ethic and be so diversified in sports and academics and community involvement and leadership that they have actually been able to get a presidential or a congressional appointment to a military academy, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy. Those scholarships are worth $400,000 just by themselves, plus. So they're worth over $400,000. And of course, our students that graduate from those colleges will pay back for that in 7 years of military service. So that's only an option if you're prepared to pay the price afterwards. And Luann, there are people that are listening right now saying, oh, I missed out on that. I wish my students had taken AP tests. Well, guess what? You don't have to miss out on it. There's something for you as well. And that is when you go to the college of your choice, look to take department test or CLEP test. If you have an area of proficiency in English or literature or math or some other area, you can actually take those CLEP or department tests and get the equivalent of units or credits for that. For example, my mother was born in Jerez de la Frontera in Sud España, so she's Spanish.
What did you just say?
Yes, that's where she was born, in Spain. And in our family, we have some proficiency in the area of Spanish. So one of our family members took the test for Spanish at their college and placed out of 16 units of Spanish, which just that one test was the equivalent of a semester.
And that that translates to dollars. You're looking at tuition credits right there. That's huge.
That's right.
You know, when I first got to college, I remember there was all the little booths set up around with different clubs and things you could do. And a credit card company was there. And I'd never had a credit card before. My parents didn't use credit cards when I was growing up. And I thought, oh, hey, I'll get a credit card. This would be great. I'll start working on my credit score. Actually, I didn't think that at all. I was thinking free money. And I got a credit card. And I racked it up till it was, you know, at its limit and didn't read the fine print. I missed one payment. My interest rate went to 20%. I didn't understand what that meant. And I went into crazy debt. It took 8 years to pay off that first credit card. 8 years until I got that thing paid off. It drove me nuts.
And Ryan, you're not the only one. And because of what happened to you, there is a new act that was passed a few years ago called the Credit Card Act. And that prevents predatory lenders from approaching college students. As a matter of fact, today, a college student can't even get a credit card without a cosigner. You have to be 21 years old or show proof of income to be able to do that. But here's the sad part about that. There are still parents that are cosigning for their children, and their college students don't understand what having a credit card is all about, and they're still getting that debt. But now it goes back on mom and dad if they don't pay it.
Yeah. Wow. My parents would have never co-signed for a credit card when I was 18 years old.
That's a huge decision that you're starting your whole adult life with that much debt.
Well, Ellie, we're talking now about people that have gotten into credit card trouble or they've gotten into debt trouble and their credit score is going down further and further and further. Can you talk to those people? Because it just seems impossible to build your credit once it's been knocked down.
That is a real issue. And of course, we know that our FICO score or our credit score will impact more and more in our life these days. It's really kind of crazy how much it's coming in to impact different aspects of our life. A poor FICO score will mean that you have to pay higher interest rates, of course, but it also can make the difference between whether you get that job promotion or not, because employers are looking at credit histories of employees and saying, if you're not good with your own money, why should I trust you with my resources? And good, bad, or indifferent,
that
has been happening. And of course, there's legislation working to try to prevent that. And yet it impacts that. The other thing that it impacts is your automobile insurance can go up because of bad credit scores. If you're hooking up utilities at a new apartment, if you have a good FICO, it's zero down. If you have a bad FICO, it's $500 down. It can impact your first and last month's rent, the amount of deposit that you put down for an apartment, and on and on and on. So let me give you three quick and easy tips to improve your FICO score. Number one, I like to say you pay a day early rather than a day late. And the point is that you never pay late. You never want to do that. So what I recommend is that you set up all of your payments automatically so they'll draft out of your checking account a day before they're due. That way you know you're never late. So if life happens and the kids get the stomach bug and you're absorbed with all of that and you don't get the check sent out in time for your your car payment or your house payment, you know that it's automatically going to draft and you're never going to be late on those payments. So I do recommend that you set things up automatically. So that's number one, is that you always are going to pay on time. Number two, pay more than the minimum balance on your credit cards. For example, if your minimum balance is $35, pay $40. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay $50. You don't have to pay $30 more. Just $5 or $10 more than what you owe on that minimum payment will show up on paper that you're paying down your debt load, and up will go your credit score. Mm. So that's the second tip.
Can you do that with other bills too? Can you do that with your mortgage or your
car
payment,
Ryan.
Things like that?
Thank you. That's a very good point, because if you really want to get a boost on your credit score to where it can jump up 50 or even 100 points, is you take your mortgage payment and you divide your mortgage payment in half, and you pay half of your mortgage payment every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, at the end of the year, you would have paid 13 payments instead of 12 payments. But you don't have to worry about coming up with that 12th payment at Christmas time at the end of the year to make that happen. So check with your mortgage provider to make sure that you can do this, that you're set up to where you can do that. And you're going to be getting way ahead on interest. And that's a whole nother story, where you'll be saving literally thousands of dollars on interest payments. Mm. But it's going to tremendously improve your FICO score as well. And the third tip is to pay proportionally. And this applies to people that pay off their credit card bills each and every month. You can get a ding on your credit score if you don't pay proportionally. Now, let me explain what that means. Let's say that you have a $6,000 limit on your credit card. You should never have more than $3,000 charged on that credit card at any given time. Now, there are some people that I know that use their credit cards for business. They get reimbursed by clients on a regular basis. So they are charging thousands of dollars every month. And at the end of every month, they're paying that off. But at the time that the credit card bureaus go and they take a snapshot of your credit, if you have more than 50% of your credit charged and not available, then you're going to get a hit on proportionality. So make sure that each of your credit cards only have 50% of the available credit or less charged on it. Mm.
So do you get a hit every month if you have it over 50%?
Yes, you would.
So your credit score continues to go down month after month if you've got over 50% on your credit card charged.
That's correct, Ryan.
Wow.
That's why it's important to pay attention to proportionality. So basically, to recap, you pay early, a day early rather than a day late. You pay more than the minimum balance, and then you pay proportionally. And if you do these things, you will dramatically improve your FICO score in a very little amount of time, relatively speaking.
Ellie, just a minute ago, my co-host here admitted on national radio that he did rack up some credit card debt.
Oh, yeah.
But it was at a time in his life where he wasn't very savvy about money. And we're speaking to parents and other adults who maybe get these concepts. Let's turn in the remaining portion that we have to the next generation down and help us as parents know, how can I instill my values and these concepts to my children in the precious few years I have them?
I think it is important to train our children to be fiscally fit. And as a matter of fact, if the listeners will go to your website, click through to my website and request the fiscal fitness report card, we will send that to them free of charge, because it tells you everything your children should know from the age of 2 all the way to 20.
Really?
And believe it or not, a 2-year-old can start to learn financial concepts, and it's basically in the idea of a work ethic. So when that little 2-year-old is helping clean up their room, you're praising them and you're saying, oh, you work very well. You're a great worker. Thanks for helping. I like it when you help. And children need to learn to have chores and responsibilities. By the time they're 5, they're making their bed. They're taking the trash out of their room. They're helping to fold the laundry. These are all work ethic issues that they need to start to learn from a very young age. And then we can introduce fun. By about the time they're 7, we can start to put them on fun kid budgets. For example, when we go out to eat at a restaurant, we'll look at the menu and think, okay, $10 per child is what we would spend if we're spending money on them. So we tell them, this is your budget. Mom and Dad are paying for your meal, but you can spend $10. And anything you spend less than that, you get to keep. And
wow.
It really works out. So it's amazing how kids that think, you know, they have an inalienable right to soda and a dessert will drink water and have ice cream at home. And then they pocket $2 or $3, and they love that. Now, you have to watch it for the born savers in the family. One time we did this when our kids were younger, and our son Jonathan, we went to Disneyland and we gave him at the time, $100, you know, that they could spend. And he said, you know what? I think I'm just going to stay outside the gate here. I'm not even going to go in, and I'm going to save all my money.
Uh-huh.
So we had to tell him no, you know, amongst the born savers there.
My Lincoln is a born saver, but he would have definitely gone into Disneyland.
Yeah. Let me ask you, you just talked about chores. Do you pay for chores being done?
In our family, Luann, what we did was we trained them to do certain things because they were a part of the family. We did not want it to come to the point where we said, hey, Philip, will you go take out the trash, please, and have him look at us and say, for how much?
Yeah.
And to
mm-hmm.
see whether it was worth it or not. So there were certain things that they do because they're a part of the family. We would always have extra jobs. If they were saving up for a skateboard or a video game or something like that, they could rake the leaves, they could wash the car, they could do things that were safe and age appropriate, and we would pay them extra money. But I do not believe in paying for chores. Now, that having been said, I do believe that if your children are not doing their own chores, that you can take money out of their allowance to pay a sibling to do their chores.
Ooh.
And that is an effective technique. Our oldest son, Daniel, was going off to school every day and not making his bed. He was about 9 years old. We were getting on him about it. Well, allowance day came around, and when he had left, we had asked his younger sister to make his bed for him. So he came home and his bed was made, and he thought everything was great. But when it was allowance day, we paid him, and we said, by the way, your sister made your bed for 3 days, so you're going to have to pay her 50 cents a day out of your allowance for making your bed. And that was the last time he ever went to school without making
his
bed.
Now, did you ever have kids that voluntarily paid siblings to do chores?
There are those, but if that's how they want to spend their money, that's fine.
All right.
They can do that, but they also have less to spend at that point. And so this is the way that kids can learn about money.
Ellie, we are rapidly running out of time on this, our second day. But before we close this out, I think it's very important for you to comment a little bit on the joy of giving. We've talked a lot about saving and spending, but what role does giving or contributions like that play?
I think that when we open up our finances and we give back to our church, to our community, that provides a real added measure for blessing in our lives. We even gave off of our groceries. I would get groceries for free. And every week, I would have the kids go put the groceries that we were giving away out in the laundry room so that we could take them by the food pantry to be able to donate them. And I remember one time my son was helping our neighbor unload their groceries and asked him, where are you putting your free groceries? Where are you putting your giveaway groceries that you're going to give away? And he came back home. He says, Mama, do you realize that not everyone gives away their groceries? And so they learned from a young age the basic idea that you can't outgive God. You don't have to worry about running out of money if you're following God's principles for giving, because you can never outgive God. And even when we had $40,000 in consumer debt and there was 2 weeks when we couldn't afford food, that was like my Scarlett O'Hara moment. I said, neither me nor none of my kin will ever go hungry again. And I became, you know, a coupon queen at that point. But even at that point, we were still tithing. And we discovered that God provided groceries for us. People actually brought by groceries, not even knowing that we had a need. One person was redesigning their kitchen, and they brought us all these groceries. So we discovered that even when you give old Mother Hubbard style and there's not much in the cupboards, that we are still giving unto the Lord, and He will repay and He will provide for us in amazing ways.
Ellie, it has been such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for coming all this way.
Well, thank you. It's really great being with you guys. I enjoyed it very much, and Colorado is a beautiful place to visit.
Well, come on back. In fact, before we go, just tell us what's next online for you. What's your next project?
My next book is called Lean Body, Fat Wallet, and I've co-authored it with one of My next book is Lean Body, Fat Wallet.
Lean Body, Fat Wallet.
Okay. I like it.
I have co-authored that with a really good friend of mine who is a health and wellness coach, Dana Dimitri. And it basically talks about the connection between health and wealth. So the same habits and disciplines that are necessary to build fiscal health are the same habits and disciplines that are necessary to develop physical health. And so we're going to talk about that in the book. And basically, if you read the book and you apply the principles, then you can be rich and thin.
I love it.
Awesome.
And we can look for that sometime later this year?
Yes, that's coming out later in the fall. Okay. It'll be available with Thomas Nelson.
Maybe you can come back and talk about it then.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And I know a lot of our listeners are interested in Ellie's books, The 60-Minute Money Workout or The Little Book of Big Savings. Find out how to get your own copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by giving us a call at 877-732-6825.
And of course, while you're at drjamesdobson.org, you will see a link to Ellie's website where you can discover even more resources and tools to help you and your family save as much money as possible and spend as little as possible. You will definitely want to check out her website. I know I will, Ryan.
Yes, Ellie has so much knowledge and advice for families to take advantage of, and we encourage all of you to find out how she can help you save money in everyday life. The savings really could surprise you.
And just very quickly in the close, this reminder that Family Talk is a completely listener-supported ministry. We would invite you to partner with us here, and you may do so by donating online at drjamesdobson.org, via our smartphone app, through our Facebook page, or when you give us a call, that number one last time, 877-732-6825. I might add that your gift is especially appreciated right now during these tough summer months.
It sure is. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you tune in next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.